I enjoyed it. I love working with Louis both times.
Some of you young folks been saying to me, "Hey, Pops, what you mean, what a wonderful world? How about all them wars all over the place? You call them wonderful? And how about hunger and pollution? They ain't so wonderful either. But how about listening to old Pops for a minute? Seems to me it ain't the world that's so bad, but what we are doing to it. And all I'm saying is, see what a wonderful world it would be if only we'd give it a chance. Love, baby, love. That's the secret. Yeah. If lots more of us loved each other, we'd solve lots more problems. And man, this world would be a guesser. That's why old Pops keeps saying, I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed days, dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The last time he was sick, he didn't get a chance to do anything. He said, "Hey, hello," and that's it. But he was not doing. Matter of fact, he did not play at that time. He just sang.
Yeah.
And he wasn't doing too well. I think he died maybe a month later after that last. I think it's a cornucopia. It's a horn of plenty. Is on that record, the last record that he made. And all I remember about that is number one, being in his presence, but also two, on Give Peace a Chance. It's just me, him, Bernard Purdy, and three background singers.
That's it.
And that's it. And I enjoyed it. They didn't want anything else. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that.
Saying, you can't beat the chance.
I remember that maybe, I don't know whether it's because of him. I remember doing a Perry Como record that I just thought, I mean, wow. We did a whole record in one session. I had to read notation. Mm-hmm. And so I crossed those burning sands. I've always been a fairly good reader once I got into it, you know. You read the music down, it's like playing a show with Blackstone the musician. Mm-hmm. You sit down, if you can read, you got an hour and a half worth of a class A pay. Just read the music.
Yep.
There are some gigs that you do, especially on recording, you do it the same way. You just sit down and make up music. That's why it's hard for me to really say my favorite one, other than Watch What Happens, America the Beautiful. I just have this thing about, I think Katie Lied, there's a song called Your Gold Teeth, or maybe on the Royal Scam. And I take my hat off for them for writing something like that, number one. But then I take my hat off to myself for getting through it by reading the chord charts. It goes from 6/8 to 9/8,
yep.
4/4. It goes through all those little different things, and we were on it. Gary Katz, they need to give Gary Katz a Grammy for being such a great gatherer of people, a great continuity director.
Yeah,
because he's very, very good. I've enjoyed it all. I've about the only thing I didn't like, the worst record. You didn't ask me this, so I'm going to offer it.
Okay,
the worst record I ever made in my life was with Rufus Thomas and Bill Doggett. Up in New York, and I forget what the name of that record is. It's right on the top of my tongue. Rufus died a year later after this. Bill Doggett died right after that, in a way, almost. I take this out of my mouth. That's a habit that I have. When I first got to New York, my first gig was playing with Bill Doggett.
Really?
And of course, I've come up with Honky Tonka, but this record was done probably around 2000. John, it's the worst record I ever made in my life. And we walked the dog and played Honky Tonka and did all that, but I swear it was the worst record that I've ever done. It was, sounded bad. The whole week experience was just bad.
Oh, man.
With Rufus and with Bill Doggett, you know. I looked at it, yeah, quite a legend, but I'm sitting with two old men that think that the world shines on their ass. And overstating, it took one whole day. This girl was playing Honky Tonk fine, but Bill had to teach her every note that Billy Butler played. And he wanted her to do it this way, and to do it, Rufus Thomas wanted the band, you know, walk in the, you know, he was trying to go at it like it was something that he was just producing that was brand new. He had to keep getting reminded that we were all raised on this music.
On that record in particular.
It was very, very bad. It was Rufus' birthday, too. It was one of his birthdays that we were there. And it was just terrible. I don't mind saying that because nobody else said it. And I thought it was a waste of money and time.
That's a shame. And then trying to teach somebody Billy Butler's licks, so one of the smoothest guitar players ever.
Plus, this young lady was playing it perfectly.
She was doing a good job.
She was doing a good job, yeah. Except that just maybe for attention. I don't know what it is with some of those older guys.
Yeah,
you know, they got to go too far. You want to teach somebody a honky tonk?
I mean, that's
who's already playing it as
well
as playing.
That's the base of, I mean. The shuffle. Da 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 da. But, you know, it's an amazing thing and a wonderful thing to be sitting here talking to you because, to me, I'm a musician and I love to get together and play. And the one thing that we are always shy of is a bass player. I can have six guitar players, three drummers, half a dozen background singers, several piano players, percussionists, but coming up with a bass player is a tough thing. There just aren't that many bass players out there. And then trying to find one that can sit in the pocket, that's another thing. Now, you know, the other day, in fact, yesterday, I was going through your site, and you have a link there to James, And James was a dear friend of mine in Detroit. And I think we talked about it on the interview, the fact that you could I could record James as an engineer. I could just plug him into the direct box, give him gain till he said, that's loud enough, and it would be zero level. Without seeing a meter, he'd be out on the floor with, you know, Benny Benjamin and Gil Askey and all these people out there, and he'd be playing all those notes, and not one of them would go over zero level. Be perfect. I mean perfect. No gain brain, no limiter, nothing. The man. And there must be a reason why you had him linked on your site.
To a certain age bracket of musicians. Now, if James were alive, he would be close to 70.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those days when the Motown music was really happening, which I would say the late 60s is, or the mid 60s is when it started, the early to mid 60s, we were in our 20s. But we come from a generation of playing music to where if you didn't do it right, the older people wouldn't let you play. He played an instrument that was probably what I'm mentioning, a brand. He played an instrument that he didn't play a whole lot. And on that instrument, there's only so much. There's only so far to go. As music changed, they started making pickups and things a little bit different. So, like, I do take my hat off to the instrument, because even if you play it hard, all you get is a slight feel in ear as opposed to the needle going over. It's hard on that instrument to get it to peak because of the pickup configuration and how it was made. Plus, he was an upright player. And upright players have to have different touches and tenses. Yeah. Like, you got to play a little bit different on your G string as you do your E string as an upright. Whereas on the electric bass, it's electric. So you could just have the same feel or touch on it. However, his personality was what it was, and that thing that you're talking about is what makes, I think the instrument had a lot to do with it too. Because I've been fighting ever since I got rid of that instrument and stopped playing that brand. And when I play evenly across, when I play it from my A, like an octave up to my G, that G sounds thin. It sounds everything except for certain brand basses, you know.
You can mention it, man. It's all right.
But he, he was a master playing the bass.
Yeah.
He's a bass player, a master.
Well, you know, I listen to his records, I listen to yours. You listen to him a lot. Your touch, man, you have a magnificent touch. Sense of touch, choice of notes is so important. And any piece of music that you play, you know, you can have a great player, but if his choice of notes don't go anywhere, don't say anything, you have to have a combination of great touch, the head, the heart, and the soul.
Note choices, you're right.
Choice of notes is everything.
I talk about that a whole lot. It's hard to get another player to see things the way you see it.
Yeah.
However, there's a formula. I always talk about when I'm greeted by people like you and you make those kind of comments, you know. To me, now of course, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that the formula is easy. Now, and I just put myself into the formula, and I don't have to try because it's a habit. You know, it's a habit because I've suffered from being wrong. And so my main thing about playing music is to be able to play and know what not to do.
Yeah, very important.
You know, because what to do is like smiling or walking or buying a shirt. But the thing is, like, the only thing I can think of this time is like a person who is, say, his waist is 38, but he still insists upon wearing a 36. Sooner or later, you don't do that if it sees what it is. I don't know. I just thought about that to relate to it. But what you don't do, it has to be locked in, like it has to be a motor skill, that I will never do this. And it all comes from how you think about the music and what you're doing here. You know, like most bass players, which I think is one of the reasons why there's getting little or less bass in the music nowadays, is because bass players are overplaying bass. They're overplaying. Now, in overplaying bass, I understand that because you have bass players that are playing a lot of bass. But music has changed to where that's where the bass has gone. Now, if you want to do that, you got to damn near be a virtuoso. I'm not going to mention names here, but there are some people that are playing that bass like it's a trumpet,
yep.
or like it's a saxophone or a guitar. But that's where the bass has gone, in a way, to where when you get back to bass playing, you know, rappers ain't using one.
Yep.
Sonically, the bass takes up too much room anyway.
Yep.
And what you listen to when you lit the fidelity. Now, I am not going to mention a rapper. You listen to your average rap song, it ain't going to be like listening to Diana Krall live.
No.
There's so much more integrity in the music. Now, when I say integrity, I'm talking about there's so much music integrity and the mixing and stuff. That's where you and I come from, as opposed to a beatbox that can sound any kind of way. It don't even sound like drums, but then they don't mean for it to.
No.
I've learned in the 43 or some years that I've been playing, long, long time ago, and it's true, it's from observing other people, like James Jameson. He had a formula. Now, he didn't have a formula where he can sit down and say, this is my formula. He had a habit of not doing certain things.
Yeah.
And, of course, on the other side, he was in Detroit, in New York, I had a habit of not doing certain things. And because... You mentioned something about bass players. There are a lot of great bass players.
Oh, yeah.
And there were then, there are now. I'm talking about the kind of bass players we're talking about. The problem is that it's getting so social and so cosmetic nowadays. If you don't look right and you're the best player, you ain't going to get the gig. Can I tell two stories?
Yes, sir.
Talking to Steve Bailey. He's auditioning for Cher. Steve is short. And... Steve Bailey, and he's auditioning. He got his feelings hurt because he wasn't chosen. But then somebody told him, they said, you're the best bass player, except that you make Cher look too tall.
Oh.
Now, that's a slap in an artist's face.
Yeah.
You should want the best musician.
Yeah.
What was the other story I was going to tell? Ricky Lee Jones. She spends her money, it's her money, for she's going out on a tour in March. She starts rehearsing in January. She wants an 8-hour rehearsal a day for 5 days, and she's paying for the band to rehearse all day, with or without her. But every week she wants a different set of saxophone trumpet. So now the band is, well, we're rehearsing, we got the gig. We got a rehearsal salary, then we got a touring salary if it happens. Now, the guys that come to audition, Ricky Lee Jones has got a hit record. It's a big tour. The guys that are coming there, it doesn't make a difference on how good you play. And that's what they think it is. They learn the music, they read it, they're there for maybe 3 days before, I forget what it was. What she's looking for a white guy and a black guy. One has to be fat, one's got to be skinny. Those are two. That's what I heard about this. All this ridiculous. You know, you want to put this contractor and give her two people that can play the music. But now things are getting so cosmetically that if you don't look right for the stage, although you're the best player, they will get somebody who can't play as well as you because they look better.
That's such a shame.
But that's the way it is.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's, you know, American television, MTV, all this stuff. The people tell me today that people don't read anymore. They only look at video. And then if they don't like that, they turn it off and go to something else in a hurry. So I'm wondering what's happening and what's going to become of legitimate music.
I think it's going to be around forever because in Europe and Japan, legitimate music has a strong toehold. People just want to listen to music. They don't want to see how cute you are, or how tall you are, or how expensive your strap is, or how expensive your instrument is. They want to just hear good music.
Yeah.
But so right here, society has gone to where you got to have the right shoes, you got to look through the right thing. When you go on tour, you spend time on how you're going to look because you're going to be in magazines, you're going to be in videos, and people work hard on what the look is as opposed to this. And most of the best music is coming from people who don't fit the profile, the Hollywood. I put the Hollywood, they have it all over.
Yeah.
New York, you know, they're just a guy, you know, where you want to start accepting a Toots Thielman, a Wilton Felder, or a, you know where I'm going, people.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Elton John. Then you look at people who do not look like who they are.
Absolutely.
As far as cosmetic part of what people are doing. John, the glasses and the hat, the people do a lot of things. In Japan, I was told that black people dress up in uniforms because they're not physically beautiful. And they and they have to do things to accentuate their... this had to be coming from a Japanese man, and probably an older one, because the women certainly don't think that.
That's true.
You know, but people who run the business, they seem to think that cosmetically they look at it a particular kind of way. So there are a lot of people who play real, real good. And even the people that I meet, bass players or drummers, I walk into a club, and because I'm there, they overdo it.
Yeah.
The bass player, either he says that, well, he's hard for him to play if I'm in, like when I walk in the room. And I say to him, I said, it ain't hard for me to play if you walk into my gig.
That's right.
You know, so that's the last thing I'm going to say is it's hard for me to play because Marcus Miller standing, is in my gig, I'm going to play my ass off him.
That's right.
You know, I'm going to do the best I can, but not to be afraid or to be intimidated, or when somebody like that comes in, now to overplay, to show them how good I am. The music, the generation I came from, those things never entered our mind.
Yeah.
It was all, no matter who came in, you might blush a little bit, but you play the music.
Yeah.
You know, you got to play. You got a drummer who sit down and every four bars they got to make a fill, or somewhere in there they got to put the signature. People want to. I come from a dancing environment. You can't dance on the drums every now and then. You know, they're like you can't keep a groove going. You know, although things go the way they go.
Yeah. Well, coming to a close here, what would you say to young musicians today, musicians that are just starting to learn or thinking that perhaps they would like to become a musician and maybe make it their life's work? What would you have to say?
If this is what a person wants to do, they already know that's what they love to do. It's best to find out through experience and to ask a question. Or it's best to have someone see you and give you advice as opposed to you ask a question. Now, you can ask a question about where B flat is and how those kind of questions are cool. Now, I always look at things like I've never taught anybody how to do anything. What I have done is I've shown them how this works here and how I'm showing them how I play a scale. But you got to teach yourself how to play that scale and how to think about what the intervals are. I need to talk more. It's like I haven't talked in a week. Well, I'm also in an environment I haven't been in a long time. I would suggest that if people don't know how to play, just go to playing. At a certain age, you don't have to worry about money. You can have your idol or your person that you like to play like. Also, too, nothing's new. A lot of people say, well, you know, like I'm going to steal some licks from Jerry Jamont. You ain't stealing nothing from Jerry Jamont. You know, once he plays a line or plays some note, it's out there like words. Yep. Once I play, it's out there. Because once you play something and my ear likes it, whether I like it or not, I'm going to play it somewhere.
That's right.
That's what we all are. We're supposed to be listening to everybody, what everybody's doing. And if you like to play, just play. And don't ask. I don't know what those questions are right now, but a lot of people ask too many questions. Don't buy a Strat because your idol has one. Well, maybe you can't do that. You don't need a $5,000 bass. You can buy one that's $600 bass. You gotta learn how to play the bass. You know, to have an idea of what you want in an instrument before you start spending money for one. First, learn how to play it like everybody else. Left-handed players, brand new, take a right-handed bass and turn it upside down. You might find that you want to be a trumpet player rather than going to have a $4,000 or $5,000 left-handed bass made. Do what everybody else has done. Turn it upside down.
Yeah.
And see if you're a bass player. But to listen to a lot of music and whatever, you cannot learn in 1 year with somebody who has had 25 years of experience with their learning. You got to go step by step. A baby does not run when they hit the room. First they got to crawl, then they got to walk, then they got to run. And they got to be successful at all before they start the next one.
Yeah.
You know, so it ain't going to happen in one. I mean, I knew how to play the bass the moment, because I played the guitar before that. I knew how to play the bass as soon as I bought it. Went to work with it that night. All I did was play what I was playing on the guitar. Same thing. But now when it comes to me learning how to play jazz, or learning who to like, who not to like, and what my interests were, and how this is, and what this is, it took me, and I value it. When I heard the first Sly and the Family Stone record, I listened to the bass and said, wow, what is he doing? Or how is he getting that sound? If I had been able to go and ask him, maybe he would have told me, maybe not. But all I had to do was look at him. Once I saw what he was doing, my father would say, how dumb can you be? But now, listening. In this business, George Martin said it better than anybody else. I'm pretty sure other people said it, but his book is All You Gotta Have Is Ears. If you got an ear, then you learn how to have an ear. You don't have to have absolute pitch. You don't have to have perfect pitch. I have relative pitch. I need a reference for just about everything I do. Richard T. had absolute pitch. We worked together fine. The thing is, you know, you don't have to. They've got a guy out now writing a book on how to have absolute pitch. He's full of it.
Yep.
Either you got it or you ain't got it.
That's right.
So I would advise everybody, listen to music. Listen to what other players are doing. Listen to what the bass is doing. Be interested in it. Don't get a gig, then ask somebody, well, how much should I charge for this? Don't even go there. It's flat out. Charge what you think you want. Now, once you get into it and you find everybody else is making more money than you, then the next time, charge more money. Or you learn how charge or how to relay the fee. There's a way to do everything that's politically correct. This is the most important thing, the ear. The ear is the most important thing. To listen and to compliment and to try and play. As much as I love James Jamerson, Marcus Miller, I attempt to play those licks, and I do them very, very well, except they don't sound like them.
They sound like you.
It sounds like me.
Good.
But I'm trying to sound like that. So there's no such thing as theft. There's no such thing as that. They play the instrument and have a point of view about playing the instrument, organized music, putting a bass line there instead of a trumpet line on the bass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everybody nowadays wants to be a Charles Mingus. That era is over.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between Charles Mingus and Slam Stewart is Slam Stewart played bass. Charles Mingus played the piano.
Yeah,
on
that's
his bass.
Right. That's right, yeah.
You know, and he was that kind of musician, whereas Slam Stewart, you know, played bass. Keita Betts, Buster Williams, you know, those are my heroes. Keita Betts, Buster Williams, George Vivier, Milt Hinton, Bob Crenshaw, Richard Davis.
The list goes on.
Man. Jimmy Smith, Wilbur Ware. You know, when the bass does something, and the era is not gone.
Yeah.
It's still around with its good jazz, but nowadays you listen to, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, I'm telling you. You know, good bass player there. Good bass lines. If you had another bass player in that, it would be whatever that bass player brought to that. But the thing is, like, he does what he does, and the band, they do what they do, and it's hard to being a member of Neris is very difficult for me. What is this? Is it blues? Is it R&B? Is it jazz fusion? Is it? And then people don't want to use fusion anymore. I understand why. You got to identify the category. So nowadays, the young person has a hard time determining what to call what he's liking.
Too many categories.
Even if it's alternative,
yeah.
Even if it's alternative, have an ear for it. And I'm not a fan at all of alternative music. I want to know what key we're in.
Yeah.
And I want everybody to be playing in the same key. They could be doing it modally. They could be doing it whatever the case may be. And usually the good alternative sounding music that the young people are into, they don't know it, but they are playing modally, because it sort of sounds like they're all in the same key. But when you really analyze and listen to it, it's not, but then you never really know. And I don't like it. I like when somebody say we're in A flat.
Thank you.
I don't like when somebody say we're in A flat. But now we could be in, you know, and then we sort of kind of are going, all of it's theory. You know, John, people have been getting away with murder by playing sus two and sus four.
Yeah.
You know, because if you suspend everything, you're never right or wrong. You know, everything has to resolve. But if you play suses all the time, then a lot of people are wrong as two left shoes. They say, oh man, this is G sus four. This is suspended chord, and you suspend it, and then they play anything they want to play. You know, being specific, I'm finding that getting this is one thing, but now when you start playing music, young people, you got to understand what the rule is. Half the rule is harmony theory. The other half of the rule is that when in Rome, do what the Romans do.
Yeah.
Or else.
That's right.
You know, you got to. When I was coming up, we had to pay rent. I had to pay my rent. I wasn't staying at home with mama and daddy. I had to be able to get around. I had to clean myself. I had to wear, you know, clean clothes. So you end up taking a gig. I took gigs. Hey, man, you don't even know you. They don't even know me. We need a bass player. Where's the gig? How much am I making? Don't ask. No, I'll be there. Nothing about the music. I ended up on Latin gigs, bar mitzvahs,
weddings,
all kinds of stuff in New York. And I don't know. I said, well, we're getting ready to do so-and-so. I said, well, we're going to have a problem. And then the good people, though, can always tell you in 10 seconds, we're getting ready to, you don't know this, but you get ready to play it anyway, and it goes like this. And when we get to the so-and-so, so 10 seconds have gone by, audience, people around, they have no idea that the bass player doesn't know the song.
That's right.
If he's thinking, and if he loves music.
And he knows the key.
And he knows what key it is.
Yeah. Mr. Chuck Rainey, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down.
John, it's my pleasure.
This is John Reese at BluePower.com. We're sitting down here at Redondo Beach in the lobby of the Redondo Beach.
Beautiful
Inn.
Rain.
And yeah, and this wonderful rain, which is highly unusual. But I want to thank you for taking the time, Chuck. I really appreciate it.
Man. Thank you very much.
Glad you didn't come up to my house and sit in the mold.
I know what you were going through. We had it on the back wall, and we're
dancing.
She's a dancing
machine. A babe, movie baby, automatic, systematic, full of color, self-contained, tuned and channeled to your vibes, captivating, stimulating. She's such a sexy lady, filled with space-age design.
She's moving, she's grooving, dancing until the music stops now. Yeah.
Rhythmatic, acrobatic, she's a dynamite attraction. At the top of a coin, she goes live. Yeah, she knows what she's doing. She's super bad now. She's here to really blow your mind. She's a dancing machine.